Maddie Nelson coming in. He is at @M_Nelson_ISU. Maddie, it's a little windy out.
It is a little windy out. You know, just the old predictable Iowa early March tornado watch right on schedule.
You know, we've had the, you know, this year, in a typical year, we had the whole gauntlet. We had snow. We had cold for wrestling. We had, you know, it got a little bit better for the girls. We had a 70-degree day yesterday for the boys. And now, you know, there's chances of severe weather in early March. Only in Iowa, my friend.
That's right. The only thing you can predict is that it's going to be unpredictable.
Okay, so before we get into men's and women's basketball,
yes,
I went up and saw my two boys the other day, and I wanted to take a step back and talk about this with you. The fact of what they're accomplishing at Iowa State in the midst of COVID, getting the athletic center and everything is going to be ready to go with the new entrances and how that's going to look. It looks like it's on budget, on time. Jamie Pollard again. During some of the toughest times, and Iowa State's going to succeed at this one more time.
Yeah, they're going to get not just something done, but something that's going to look I think incredible. And as one of Ames's newest residents, I can tell you it's hard for me to not drive by that every day to take a look at it. It is shocking. If you haven't been by recently, I know there's a camera online you can actually tune in to watch its progress, but the old Olson building is gone. They're actually starting to lay rock and concrete down for that big cement area out front. They're sprucing up the north end of the Jacobson building. It's going to be, if you haven't been by Jack Price in a while, when it's done, I think it'll be almost unrecognizable. It will look so much better. Just so much more like a big-time college football stadium.
It is, and once again, Jamie Pollard working that magic. You know, it got to a point last year when COVID first hit, and Jamie's like, "Listen, yes, we're gonna have to tighten our belts. We're still gonna get this stuff through. We're gonna make this work. All of our coaches, we're all on the same page. Wendy's on the same page with us with the university." And to be really honest with you, Matt, I think it probably worked out even better than we thought it would, even what we both think of Jamie Pollard and how he gets things done.
Oh, I would agree. When you take into consideration all the things that have happened and how many excuses you can have for something to go wrong this season, to not take the easy way out and to stick to it and accomplish something significant, a facelift for the university and for athletics, to get that done in a time like this, I'm not sure I can overstate how big of an accomplishment that really is.
And it's only going to get better because, you know, this is just the first little phase, and it's not little, it's a huge phase, but it's just a phase of what's going to happen. I know that, you know, we drove by it the other night and some kids are starting to get over there. You know, they built all this cool intramural places for everybody to do stuff up there. Then you have COVID hit.
Yeah.
You can't do any of it. Next year, and it's I'm sad for my middle son. He's going to graduate, but he does get a graduation, though. They're doing it in Jack Trice, so he does get a graduation, which we didn't think we were going to get. We thought it was going to be virtual or something, so he gets a graduation. But not to be able to, you know, have your senior year be, you know, the senior year. I think if he didn't have a job already and wants to get started with his career, I think that he might have taken some kind of year, you know, just to
make sure that.
Yes, there you go. And do something different so he could have come back and got to enjoy a senior year like his older brother did. But I think that, you know, these last couple of months, maybe things will change a little bit, once the vaccine and stuff starts. But the way Iowa State's done most of it as a parent, I can't complain. You know, it's not easy. We had no idea a year. I mean, it started a year ago today. We had no idea what was going to happen. And with, you know, all being said, I think all four major universities in the state of Iowa have done an amazing job.
I would agree. And, you know, with Iowa State, you had those high numbers of cases early on, and what we found was that was just purely linked to not even necessarily students partying right when they got back, but just students coming back in general. You went from not testing any students to all of a sudden you're testing everybody because they're back on campus. And I agree. I think Iowa State's done a great job. I think we all should be very thankful for that, Steve, because I think that means we're going to have 61-5 in Jack Trice this fall. And I know I've got my tickets, so that's what I'm hoping for, selfishly. But I really do think that's where this whole thing is trending.
Man, I'm right there with you, and so do we, and I can't wait. Let's talk a little bit. Let's start with the women's basketball team. Coach Finley, a really good year with a really good nucleus of young kids. I think they're a 7 seed in some projections for the women's tournament. I think it's going to be exciting to see them play. I think they're a tough team for somebody that hasn't seen them. They shoot so well, but still have inside presence. You know, they could be a tough out in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you've got to play 40 minutes against them, and in my opinion, that's where we've seen teams have success. It's those better teams that don't take a quarter off that Iowa State has not been able to get over the hump against this year. And don't get me wrong, I think you could be tempted to categorize this season as a disappointment, and I may not even argue all that vociferously with you if you did, but I think it's the type of season that a young team just has to go through. There were growing pains. It's just the team is so young. When you start basically 3 freshmen, you're going to go through some games like this. They had this season where they didn't come out on top, and I would not want to play them. I mean, if you're a team getting ready for them in the tournament, say you're a 2 or a 3 seed, and you see Iowa State lurking, knowing that they've beaten Baylor twice in the last few years, that can't make you feel good. And the way this team shoots, you know, they're never going to be out of a game because they can come back from a 10-point deficit in 2 minutes.
And I agree. And it's interesting with the type of team that Bill Finley has and the chemistry that they have, having those girls come back and just taking this year as a gimme year and starting right where they left off, I could see that happening, and they have some good recruits coming in. All right, so I told you on the phone that I had kind of an epiphany yesterday, and here was the epiphany, and I wanted to get your comments on it. So when you look around and you see the stuff that's happening in Kansas with Les Miles and the athletic director and their basketball program, by the way, who still is waiting to see what's going to happen to them, and you look at Sean Miller and the stuff that he's put Arizona through and all of that, when you look at it that way, what Steve Prohm's done is in the last 3 years, he hasn't been as good as his first few. And the one thing that hasn't came out is you haven't heard kids talk bad about him. And there's no problems with the program. Is that enough with all the turmoil? And there's a lot more, I think, a lot more NCAA coaches that are in trouble than what are just out there with recruiting. And I think it's sooner or later it's going to catch up with people, especially in football. I think there's some football people that are getting ready to not like some of the information that's going to come out on them. When you look at that, is that enough to save somebody's job that hasn't won a Big 12 game in this year?
You know, I don't know that it's enough to save, but it's certainly worth considering. I think it's a combination of, if you're making the argument for him to stay, it's a combination of, obviously there's a lot of players in the NBA, and those players, for the most part, speak very highly of Steve. We've had Tyrese Halliburton on podcast Wide Right before, and he's reiterated that he's absolutely a Steve Prohm fan. He's Steve's guy. He supports him no matter what and loved playing for him. So that makes it a little more difficult to weigh. What I think is maybe more interesting is the dynamics around what's happening in college basketball and college athletics as a whole at the moment. And when I say that, it's less can you afford to get rid of somebody who is a good guy, who is, you know, is not going to cause you problems, and take a risk on a new coach. I think it's more of, can you step out and actually make this change right now? Do you have the money secured for it? If you do, is the public perception going to be what you want? Now is not a great time to be looking for a coach.
No.
And schools have done it, but look at the schools who have. it's, you know, Texas got rid of Tom Herman because they can afford to get rid of Tom Herman. Iowa State's not Texas. So I think if you're really weighing, you know, and there are other, I call them built-in excuses, but I also think have some weight, you know, getting to play, what, 3 non-conference games, losing a ton of your stretch of your season to COVID. There's a lot of issues all at play there. But I think when it comes to this team and Steve, I think you need to look further than just this season. And I believe it was Travis Hines for the Tribune wrote a really good piece about if you want the key to why Steve is at this point now, it's not any of these seasons. It's actually that team from 2 years ago that lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
That team did not go far enough for the talent that it had, and now we see Horton Tucker playing 20 minutes a night, and Tyrese Halliburton is the rookie of the year. And I think that's probably the more damning question than what's happened this year, Steve. It's why has this trend been occurring for the last 3 or 4 seasons.
And the thing that I look at too, and once again, we're talking to Matty Nelson, wide right, Natty Light. He's at @MNelson_ISU. The thing I'm looking at, I don't know who a hot name, a hot younger new name is. I don't know how much dollar signs are attached to that. You know, the issue that you have and that I'm looking at is the success that the University of Iowa is having with their basketball program and the success that Drake's having with their program. And
right.
Steve Prohm probably got lucky because AJ Green had an issue this year and wasn't able to play, or you and I would have had one of those years too, because with him, that's close to being an NCAA tournament team too, just with all their talent and young talent. And we don't have any of that we can, you know, we had some guys play really good this year, and I think they can be stars. The one that really has me upside down is Xavier Foster. You know, I get these bad feelings sometimes. I just have a bad feeling that he's going to say this isn't a fit for me and he's going to leave. And I would hate to see that, because that was kind of the crown jewel. And we have some good kids coming in, but we lost some kids too that left the program that had the one thing we needed, and that's shooting. And we lost some of those guys, and they actually went somewhere else and performed at shooting, and that matters. But I'm with you. I don't know how you do it during a COVID year. Now here's the one thing I'll say: Jamie Pollard's not going to be, if he has in his mind that what he wants, he's going to do it no matter what any of us say.
Yeah, for sure. That I'm sure of. I also think that Jamie probably is going to sound maybe a little weird, but I think Jamie probably already has his mind made up, Steve.
Oh, I get it to you.
He has gone to, you know, he's really involved with the selection committee, so I believe he's already out in Dayton or wherever they pick those games. He's not even in Ames. So I think whatever, he is literally probably the only person on this planet right now who knows what Steve's future is, and we'll find that out sometime after tonight's game, I would imagine. So, I guess I personally think this is a really critical moment for Jamie. He's obviously done a ton right, and I don't think – I've heard some unruly fans mention that maybe he should be on the hot seat as well, and I don't think that's anywhere near the case, not with all of the wonderful things he's done, both as AD and to kind of elevate athletics just as a whole. But this is a key moment for him. He's got to figure out, where we go is – If Iowa State has another losing season next year, Steen, it will be, what, 4 out of 5?
Yes, and that can't
coming happen. Off a year where you – no, that, I, that's been my fear this whole time is if you string together – Iowa State basketball has been good, but always a little tenuous, and if you string 3 really bad seasons together, that's a hole that it may take you a decade to dig out of.
Okay, I got one more for you, too, and I'm going to say this one first just in case I don't get it out. If I see another poll that's out – of top 5 running backs coming back and Breece Hall's not on it, I'm going to go crazy if I keep seeing them on Twitter from all these football publications that don't even mention him. He's the best football player, I think, coming back in the Big 12. So how he's not on these lists is driving me crazy.
Pro Football Focus had him below Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State, who is a nice player, but he's a 5'5" running back. And Breece Hall led the nation in yards. So yeah. I think it's more funny than insulting to me, because I think people just don't know what they're talking about. But It's been nice to see Brees take note of it on Twitter. He sounds like he's plenty fired up for next year.
And I like that. Okay, here's my last thing on the basketball. We got about a minute left. If Freddie wanted out before, he wanted an out, and he got his out to go to the Bulls and at Nebraska. You know what? I have all these folks that are saying it'd be good. We bring him back. I don't think he wants to come back. I don't think I'm not sure he wants to coach anymore.
That is my guess. And if you're Fred, why come back to Iowa State? You were a hero once. You left on top. You come back and you put up two bad seasons, and all of a sudden, all of that hard work that you've done, it seems like it's all for naught.
Yeah.
And I don't think Fred wants to risk that. Do I think Jamie would be wise to give him a call if this job is open, at least ask him his thoughts? I think Jamie probably would, or already has. He's a D1 coach, and he loves Iowa State. But I don't think Fred would even want to come back if offered the job.
I agree, buddy, as always, and we agree on a lot. Thanks for coming on. Go State. I can't wait till football season, man. I'm getting so excited. We're going to have some great conversations when it gets closer.
Thanks for having me. I cannot wait for football either, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
You too. See you later, Maddie. Maddie Nelson, Wide Right Natty Light. He's at MNelson_ISU. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Kevin O'Hare talking sports with Steen. Where are we going to go? Find out next.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Happy Thursday. Or it's Thursday. I wish it was Thursday. It's Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. It is crazy windy out there. Everybody stay safe. During this season, we have wrestling and girls and boys basketball. The weather will change every hour on the hour. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. You can also go to the website at 1700thechamp.com, listen to the show live, and download the podcast. You can also check out with our next guest. He is at KOHare55. It's Kevin O'Hare. Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, Gary. How are you, my man?
I'm doing well. I just got done. I had I talked a little NBA with Mr. Andrew Steenblock, who is an NBA freak. And
ooh, I love it.
Yep, that was fun. And then I had my Iowa State Wide Right Natty Light, Maddie Nelson, came on. And now I get to talk to you right when Class 4A quarterfinals are going on all day today. And, you know, I wanted to talk about this first. And it's difficult. And, you know, you're kind of a shooting guru. When you get to Wells Fargo and you don't have walls behind the backboard, tell my audience what it's like not having that there and getting used to it.
Yeah, it's definitely something you gotta get used to, and you gotta take advantage of your pregame warmups, I think, as a shooter. You know, I was fortunate to play at the Barn way back in the day, and we had very similar things, and I did not shoot well there. But yeah, I think it's something, you know, you obviously have to expect it, you know, and when you're getting your 15 or 20 minute pregame, it's, you know, you got to get a lot of shots up if you're a shooter, and you got to, you know, just practice what's getting ready to come, which is a lot of empty behind the hoop, you know, and they're really, really good shooters, you know, for the most part. It hasn't affected them too much that I've seen, at least today. And even in some of the games on Monday and Tuesday, but yeah, it'll sneak up on you in that first quarter for sure.
Boy, Johnston played a really good game today.
They did. You know, obviously being a Dowling through and through, you know, we looked like we were sleepwalking a little bit at 10 a.m. in the morning game, but Johnston came out. They had a lot of action, a lot of movement. First possession of the game, everybody got a touch. A lot of cutting, screening, and they just do a really good job of moving without the ball and attacking space.
And as good as Cedar Falls is, Cedar Falls watching that game beforehand, they have to be like, okay, that maybe isn't what we were expecting, and that's going to be, you know, that's going to be a tough game for Cedar Falls. But boy, are they deep and talented!
They are, and they probably got caught sleeping a little bit in that first half too. I noticed they were down one at half, and I think, you know, Dubuque Senior only scored 8 second half points. So, you know, it's tough to keep a Cedar Falls and a Waukee down, or at least to sustain it for 4 quarters. You might get them for a quarter or a half, and Dowling did that twice this year for a half. but it's going to be tough to sustain that with really good teams like with Cedar Falls and Waukee are.
And that's true, and too many weapons. Ames had kind of an easy game today against Abe Lincoln. I've been a fan of Tamen Lipsey since eighth grade. Not that I got to see him coach in eighth grade, but he was watching with the guys, but he was playing somewhere else. But he's a special kid. They didn't have their transfer, didn't play today. It was in sweats. So even at full strength, I agree with you. Waukee just has, I mean, they bring people off the bench that would start for a lot of teams right now. So, and they're shooters. And you and I have talked about this from 5 years ago to now. If you have shooters, you can win championships, you can win games. It's when you don't have shooters that you have to do something different to be able to win.
Yeah, they space the floor. Like, shooters space the floor, and they allow other guys, post players, or guys like Omaha or Corbett for Cedar Falls to go one-on-one. And you can't double if you can space the floor and you got a bunch of shooters. You know, and Peyton is going to Iowa for a lot of reasons, but one of the main reasons is he can space the floor. And that's what that's what Iowa's got Frederick and Bohannon and Wieskamp. And so Garza can play a lot of one-on-one. And so that's the same thing with these high school guys, is the really good shooters will space the floor and they'll make it tough to double off of them. But yeah, I think it's personally, it's Waukee's to lose. I know Cedar Falls is really good. I know Johnson's playing really well. And obviously Ames, the transfer from Waterloo that went to Ames, just to touch on that, it's my understanding he's not going to play this week, due to some off the court stuff. But, so that's going to be tough for them. That hurts them. That hurts them a lot. But like you said, Tamen just controls the game. You know, you can put as much pressure on him as you want, but he's going to control the flow of the game, and Ames is going to try to slow the game down a little bit. And again, they've got Mum and Brooks that do a great job too, and a couple other guys. But when you have a point guard that can control the game, or at least the tempo, however they want to play, it's tough to stop.
You know, and with him, to give him credit too, is you're talking about a four sport star, because his track and field, he was amazing. Has an injury. And bounces back, you know, and still plays football. And he does the same thing in football. He controls the line of scrimmage as at quarterback. But watching him play, watching him run track was probably even more before he got hurt. I mean, he's effortless. And when you have somebody like that, it is so much fun to watch them play. And here's the thing, and I know this is a reason, and even though we're both kind of fiery, we don't like to see that on a basketball court. You never see him say anything. You're probably more apt to see him tap somebody on the back and tell them a good play than he would to get in somebody's face.
Right. No, he's about as even keel and even manner as they come. And again, that's who he is. And you're right. I almost would wish from a coach's perspective you'd see something more out of him, but He knows what he's about. He knows how good he is. He's very humble about his game. He's put in the time, and because of all of that, he's just even keel.
Before we get into the NCAA and what's coming up, when you're a coach and you're trying to motivate your team, and I know that I've seen your practices, I've watched you. You love all these kids, but there's times when you have to get into them and you have to make them understand. Greg McDermott did that, and you know, probably used a horrible two things and said it twice and shouldn't have. And I came on the radio and I said, you know, what he said was wrong. And for a normal person out there, you probably would lose your job because of it. But because of the other things that Greg McDermott has, and you've never heard anything else, he probably saved his job because of his character. Tell the audience how difficult it is sometimes when you're in the moment and you're trying to get a point across. You have to be so careful about what you say.
Yeah, you do. And, you know, we touched on it a little bit last week. But, again, horrible thing to say. Just never should have said it. You know, he came out and, you know, immediately was apologetic about it. But, again, relationship building. And, you know, for him particularly, going into homes and recruiting, right? He's building these relationships with these kids. They know that he's hard on him in practices, but he's also there's a fine line. Like, kids will run through walls for certain people or do certain things when they know what you're all about. And you know, between the lines, yeah, winning and losing, especially at that level. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to, you know, to dumb it down, you got to be able to buy the kids pizza, buy the kids Gatorade, talk about school, talk about their girlfriend. Like, you got to, their home life, everything. There's a lot more than just winning and losing. And from a coach's perspective, and you got to kind of get in and dive into the kid and see what they're all about. And he's clearly done that because the kids wanted him to play. You know, he tried to resign once or twice, I heard, and the guys were like, we want you to play. We're going to play for you, blah, blah, blah. They know it was wrong. He knows it was wrong, and they're finding a way to move on because of the relationship he's built with his kids. It's tough love, but at the same time, it's love.
It is, and I totally agree. Once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He is at KOHare55. All right, so it's that time of year for us that like basketball that there's nothing better. You get conference champion or conference tournament, conference championship, dive right into the NCAA. My question to you, and I've asked a couple of different people this week, Kevin Lehman, now you, and I consider you guys to be pretty close to basketball experts. If you're the University of Iowa, and I know winning a Big Ten title is a great thing, and it would be fun. It's not an NCAA title, and you're up there to a point where you're one of the top 8-10 teams in the country. Resting Joe Wieskamp and resting C.J. Frederick to make sure that they are ready to go for the NCAA tournament, is that a better option, or is it just, you know what, we're going to the Big Ten tournament, we're going to win it, and then we're going to hope everybody is as healthy as they can be, and we're going to go to the NCAA tournament? Which would you do?
Wow, that's a great question. So again, I'd have to know obviously a little bit more about the injuries, but in the Big Ten tournament, and Iowa got a double bye, so they got to win two games. They're obviously playing for a two seed, and I think if they get to the championship game, they get that two seed, and you know, two or three seed is what they're playing for. And so, at this point, tomato tomato, you know, you're going to play a 14 seed or a 15 seed. I you know, Wieskamp's injury might be a little worse than Frederick's. You know, I'd get a feel for them. Obviously, talk to the doctor. But if I'm locked into a two or a three seed, I feel good about that, and I can rest the guys a little bit. I mean, but I think you want to win the Big Ten tournament. I think those two guys are going to play as long as they're 80% or whatever in this Big Ten tournament. I'd be shocked if they didn't play. Assuming they're relatively healthy.
Right, and I agree with that. And you want to keep chemistry, and you want to do all that. You just hate to see them try to push back too early. I want to jump back into high school just really quick too. 10 to 15 years ago, if you were playing 1A, 2A basketball in boys, 1A in girls, or you know, my senior year, Palmer Pomeroy was, well, I mean, they had some great kids and played really well. We've played them a couple of times outside of you know, just in different tournaments. Nowadays, with the way you have whatever you want to call for U-Trip or traveling teams, you're getting a lot of kids in that 1A, 2A, 3A level that are really good basketball players. Has it changed that much from 10 to 15 years ago in those classes?
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, I think those players are continuing to get better and better. And again, with AAU experience and stuff like that, and you know, small town Iowa or small town wherever, I mean, I don't know if you have necessarily the distractions that you might have in a big city. I know they all have their phones and they all have their gadgets, but at the same time, I think it's a lot easier to maybe go find a park, a driveway, or a gym and go to work. And I think there's also maybe a little more passion and love for the game in some of the small towns. And this is just me talking off the cuff, but I think that those players are getting much better. And again, with the exposure of AAU and stuff that's gotten so big, if they can find the right team, the right program, and play all summer long, I think it's been beneficial for them, and I think you see that down at the state tournament.
Once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He is at KOHare55. You know, and it also, this was one that was in my mind. Let's take Dallas Center Grimes, but they're getting close enough to where they're a 4A or you know, I was even going to say Norwalk, but they moved up too. But if you have a school like that and you're a really good player, you know, maybe you go to Dallas Center Grimes and you're more a part of maybe the lead on the team than if you go to Waukee, Johnston, Valley, Dowling, where you're one of 10 or 11 and you get to showcase, you know, coaches still are going to find you. That's the thing nowadays. And I think that's what, you know, playing traveling ball gets you. Coaches are going to see you a couple times. Then they'll come find you. If you're doing the things like you just said, playing defense, passing the ball, being a good teammate, they're going to come find you. I don't know if that was always that way, you know, back in the day. I mean, you had to play well at games that they came to, and if you didn't, they just didn't talk to you anymore.
No, you're right. And I think if you're good, no matter where you're at, you're going to be found. Social media's taken off, right? Like, there's highlights, there's video, there's film, there's coaches are everywhere. But you do see a lot of families right now. They have those conversations. Does our son or daughter want to go to a 4A and be the 8, 9, 10, 11, or do we want to go to Von Durant, Dallas Center? You know, smaller towns, smaller schools with enrollment and be a starter and stuff like that. So I know a lot of people that are having those conversations right now, and it's interesting just to hear them go back and forth on that.
You know, and once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. You're quite a bit younger than me, but Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame finalist came out today. I wanted to get your take on who you think the best of this three is. You have Paul Pierce, Chris Bosh, and Chris Webber all getting ready. You know, they have a chance to get into the Hall of Fame. Where would you throw your, if you only could pick one, where are you throwing your eggs in your basket there?
Paul Pierce.
Yep, I'm with you.
I just think he does more on both ends of the floor. He did more on both ends of the floor. You know, Ray Allen, more of a specialty shooter type thing. Chris Bosh, you know, kind of a undersized power forward, so to speak. Obviously, both really good players, but I'd take Paul Pierce for sure.
Yeah, and you know, Chris Webber, if he could have stayed healthy, you know, that was one with him. And Chris Bosh, too, having to stop playing with a very talented team because of blood clots. You don't know what he could have done. But, you know, that's kind of where we're at. We got about 30 seconds left. So you're thinking there's just nobody that's going to be able to, for four quarters, is going to be able to stay with Waukee?
No, I would empty my bank on Waukee. And I know Cedar Falls, I'm playing everybody wins if they're supposed to. I'm Cedar Falls will give them a battle, but I would take Waukee by far. Twice on every day of the week, twice on Sundays.
All right, there you go. Once again, I love that you're just willing to come on and talk. There's so many things that we can talk about, and once we get through, you know, this week and get into next week, then we got big things to talk about with the tournament coming up. So thanks, Kev.
Yep, thanks for having me.
All right. Kevin O'Hare, everybody. Another great, great appearance. He's got a great basketball mind. He's going to tell you what he thinks, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're really good friends and enjoy talking to each other. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I get the last segment. You're going to have to come back and figure out what I'm going to talk about and get mad about today. Next. Welcome back to Steen on Sports. Happy Wednesday. I almost said Thursday again. I want it to be Thursday so bad. I don't know why. I want to take a second to thank our guests. This is what makes this job so much fun, is the people that I get to talk to. Andrew Steenblatt came in, did a great job talking NBA, a little bit of golf, Players Championship, probably next to the Masters is my, I mean, I love watching the U.S. Open and the British Open, but they play them at all different courses. The Players Championship is probably my favorite course, except for the Masters has so much. Oh, it's just so much fun and part of my childhood that it's difficult. Matty Nelson, I mean, we talked real about Iowa State. Both of us think that it's a extremely tough decision for Jamie Pollard, and I don't know what you do in that situation either. Got to finish up with Kevin O'Hare, talk a little high school basketball. Nobody better to talk about high school basketball than him. A great coach, just an all-around great dude, and it's great that he wants to come on the show and he wants to talk sports with me. I enjoy it. That's what we'd be doing anyway. If we were sitting watching a game together, we'd be talking sports, so it's always fun. I want to make sure that I mention BetMGM. I really enjoy the sports betting. It makes it easy. You download the app, you deposit money, you look at all the specials, you look at all the parlays. They send different things to you all the time. You're always going to have chances to win extra money or have them cover up to a dollar amount bet if you lose. You know, one of their big ones is if either team hits a three, you win. If you hear me, I yell that in the commercials. It's just a lot of fun and I enjoy it. So if you want to do sports betting in Iowa, do BetMGM. It's easy and it's fun. I also am very happy about having Northwest Bank on board. They are a great bank. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. All your banking needs will be met. Member FDIC. It's just fun, and we'll do more things with them and bring on even more items that we can talk about, and it'll be a lot of fun, and I appreciate them an awful lot. I don't know exactly where I want to go because of everything that's going on. I did see in there that it looked like Joe Wieskamp was not walking in a boot when they got on the plane today. That would be very good for the Iowa Hawkeyes if he is getting healthy as we speak. It looks like Waukee is easily pulling away from that game. So you'll have Johnston, Cedar Falls, Ames, Waukee. I'm assuming that'll come back on Thursday, maybe Friday, but I'm thinking on Thursday. I think what I'm going to end with today, some of the reporting in the whole, Luka Garza having his jersey retired and hung in the rafters or whatever, and the somehow slip up that Roy Marble at some point had something taken away from him. I don't think that that's what Gary Barter or Fran McCaffrey wanted to happen. I guarantee you it's not what Luka Garza wanted to happen. I know that's not what his father would want to happen. And that's the thing, folks. We have to remember that heaping praise on Luka is not taking away praise from any Iowa player, let alone Roy Marble. For those out there, now I had said this, and I will reiterate again that Roy Marble had a great career, and he brought Iowa doesn't have the recognition or the success that they had if Roy Marble didn't come to the University of Iowa. He opened up some pretty big avenues for them to recruit the type of athlete they wanted to get in for the program. Did Roy Marble have the same type of career that Luka Garza had? Probably not, and you see that. Luka Garza, I mean, he's going to win Big Ten Player of the Year. He's going to win College Basketball Player of the Year. He had a great year last year. It's different. It's not apples and oranges. It's not apples and, I mean, it's none of that. And that's the one thing. Don't hate on Roy Marble because you love Luka Garza. And don't hate on Luka Garza if you love Roy Marble. It's two separate things. I'm sorry that Devin feels that way. Hopefully someone can talk to him and get it straightened out. I think that would be very helpful. It doesn't look good for the University of Iowa, and I don't know if it's anybody's fault. They just need to talk it through. There's been a lot of great players that have gone through the University of Iowa. This is just a special occasion for a special player that's going to win a special award. That is something that the University of Iowa should be celebrating. So that's a story that I think is going to have a happy ending. My other thing of this week so far that's just drove me crazy is the Les Mile, the LSU, the Kansas, some of the things that are going on in college sports. And I've already said what I think about the athletic directors in both places. When it comes to safety of student athletes and just students in general at universities, and you know something and you're not being forward about it, it's wrong, folks. It's almost criminally wrong, and we need to realize that the protection and safety of all of our children is always our biggest need, especially as parents. That's what we're looking for. When we send our kids to college, when we send our kids to play sports, we want you to take care of them and make sure they're safe. They have a responsibility to the coaches and to the professors and to everybody else at the universities as well. And hopefully as parents, we did a good job of making sure that that's being followed and tried to give them a template to do that. But you have a huge template too, because you don't want us there talking to you and doing that. You say, the kids need to talk to me. Well, then you need to be upfront with kids when stuff like this happens. And I'm not very happy about that. Part of the problem is the NCAA is not doing everything in its human power to make safe for all these student athletes. And all we're worried about, I mean, we came back during COVID, and what these student athletes have done is amazing. and everything that they've gone through, and every single thing that the NCAA has thrown out to try maybe not to have them have this going through, so they aren't going to have big problems arise that they don't know how to handle. The only thing these student athletes and these coaches have done is make sure their kids are doing it the right way and doing things they're supposed to do. And even when they're doing things the right way, the NCAA throws roadblocks, or a town that you're having the Missouri Valley Conference Championship throws a roadblock in. What happened to Ben Jacobson and the UNI Panthers was wrong. What happened to those young men was wrong. They should have been able to play that game. And there was no reason for them not to play that game, unless you can show me something that's not been out and been discussed that has, it's not right. And the fact that you don't go to St. Louis anymore, change the location. If they can't come and be upfront and have said that beforehand, then get rid of the location. You're not stuck there. There's all kinds of places that you can play basketball. These kids don't care where they're playing. They just want to play. Let's let them play. You know, it's too much. And as parents, we want to see them play, and it's getting more and more and more difficult to have that happen. And the parents shouldn't be the ones that are having to fight for these student athletes. That's what the universities are for. And thankfully, and let's say it again, thankfully for the Iowa parents that had an issue with football, I think that they had a huge say in the reason that the football games got to be played. You need to have that, and it's a two-way street. And the parents were doing all the right things, and they weren't getting something back from the NCAA. And even with, you know, name, image, and likeness, and transfer rules, and all of this, you know, they say one thing one day, they say another thing another day. They need to get on the same page as everybody else. We're asking these young kids to follow hundreds of pages of guidelines, and we're trusting that the NCAA will have their backs. And I don't know if that happens all the time. You know, and it gets back to just the, you know, when you have someone like Greg Lansing lose his job at Indiana State after, you know, the facilities aren't the same. He's not playing under the same rules as everybody else is. It's not easy where he has to recruit to. You know, and I've even said, Greg Gard the other night came out and was upset about the refereeing in the Wisconsin-Iowa games, and pretty much told people why he was upset and wasn't very happy with the Big Ten, and nothing happened. Nothing still has happened. If the shoe was on the other foot and that was Fran McCaffrey coming out and saying that, he'd probably been suspended for these next two games and not be able to coach them in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, it's just some of these things that are happening, and I want the NCAA to be better. And at any point in time, is it a good time to be better? This is the one, because, and I want the Iowa High School Associations to understand that this year, man, it's been so tough on these kids, and let's continue. Let's make things be easier, not harder. Let's make recommendations that make things easier, not harder, from high school to college. Professionals even struggle with it. They struggle with all the things that they're having to do. The simple fact that you have to go to the NCAA tournament and have seven consecutive tests being negative before you can even go into the bubble, and the rest of them, baseball did the same and NBA did the same last year. It's a lot to put on these athletes. Make sure it's fair. Make sure it's fun for everyone. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. I appreciate you coming in. I appreciate you listening to the show. It's so much fun. I love doing it. I hope you love it back, and we'll have a great time. I will see you tomorrow.